Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of the International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, and I want to thank you for tuning in today's program. Some years ago, during my ministry in the Holy Land, I was planning to go to Haifa, which is in the north, to visit some friends for 2 days, and was just about to go when I went to the post office. Well, when I came out 5 minutes later, I found my passenger window on my van was broken, and someone had stolen my backpack. Thank God all that was inside was my clothes, an overnight kit, and a Bible, not my regular one, but a Bible, and some cookies for the road. Well, praise God, I got to give a Bible away. I had an Israeli friend come and help me as we went to the police to file a report for the insurance company, and then off to the glass store for a replacement. All these events happen in just 4 hours. Now that is a miracle in Israel, especially being on the holidays. God had a reason for me to stay home for my trip from Haifa. I found out the answer was that evening as I was taking a walk around my neighborhood. I came across a young man who had a flat tire and was able to help him. You see, in Israel, no one really helps you much when you are stuck like that. I told him the story of my day and said God made me stay home so I could help you. I told him, his name was Avi, that I would pray for him and that God would bring peace to this land. In all, I learned to give the whole situation to God. The van was his, the backpack was his, and I am his. The verse that God used during this time was from Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. In this I was strengthened under pressure. One thing in addition to what happened was that I was actually out to buy a toothbrush when I came across Avi, the man with the flat tire. When my backpack was stolen, my overnight kit was in it, and back at my apartment, I found everything I needed for the toiletries except a toothbrush. I was walking to a store nearby when I found out it was already closed. It was after this that I came across Avi. Now, my hands and clothes were dirty after helping him with his tire, so I just decided to go home and get a toothbrush the next day. Then I remembered that there was a basket of toiletries in my bedroom. Now, get this! There was one toothbrush left in the basket. God, in his divine providence, supplied every need, even to the smallest detail. What a wonderful God we have. I was able to rejoice in finding God's toothbrush. But the story doesn't end there. Another unique thing happened. This reminded me of Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." This verse was foremost on my mind at the end of the day. As much as we plan our day, God's plan is far better. This is something that I am learning each day. Now, keep in mind concerning the theft of my backpack. I gave that situation to the Lord and committed the end result to Him. I had a peace in this and thought very little about this experience since then. Well, our congregation there came together and gave me a new backpack, including a new toothbrush, replacing the one that was stolen. I was very thankful for the love that they showed me through their generosity. Now, some months later, I was at our assembly as we were decorating for Christmas and Hanukkah. Well, we were having a great time of work and fellowship when I received a call from nowhere, just someone asking for me. I asked what this was all about. And the man said that he had found a backpack and described the items inside. It matched the contents that I had in it the day it was stolen. I was a little bit suspicious, but I found out where he was and headed over there to his place with some friends. He told me he didn't know how the backpack got to his shop. It was an air conditioning store. And I pointed out that the robbery took place just 50 meters down the street. He said his boss's wife found it while cleaning a cluttered section of the warehouse. He took me to his office and showed me what he had found. Sure enough, it was my stolen backpack with everything inside. Nothing was missing. This gave me a chance to share with him the story of how I was able to give the situation to God, trusting him for all things. He told me, and this was his words, that God is looking out for you. The man then asked what I do, and he saw that I had a Bible in my bag, and I told him about our ministry and sharing the blessings of God to this man. Now, I can rejoice that God is a faithful God. He knew where my backpack was all the time and gave it back to me for my good and for his glory. What a wonderful God we serve. And by the way, I got my toothbrush back. Well, I hope that this has been a good testimony just to encourage you in your faith that as God cares as much for a backpack, He cares for each and every one of us as well. What a great God we serve. Well, with this in mind, let's now open our Bibles as we continue our study together with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman.
Welcome back to our radio broadcast. In this segment, we will complete our study of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus Christ sent out 70 of his followers in groups of two. He gave them explicit instructions about how to minister. Later, he pronounced woes on those cities that witnessed his mighty works, yet rejected him. The Lord addressed a parable about a good Samaritan to a lawyer. The lawyer had asked him a question, "Who is my neighbor?" In the narrative of the Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ contrasted the neglect of a Jewish priest and a Levite with the care shown to a wounded man by a Samaritan. Jesus Christ taught his disciples how to pray. He exhorted them to persist in prayer, remarking that, quote, "Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened," unquote. Some people accuse the Lord of casting out demons by working in conjunction with Beelzebub, that is to say, the chief of demons. In response, he compared himself to a stronger man who overpowered another. A Pharisee marveled because Jesus Christ did not wash his hands before eating. In response, the Savior condemned the Jewish religious leaders for their hypocrisy. He later told his disciples, quote, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees," unquote. When a man asked him about dividing an inheritance with a brother, Jesus Christ took that opportunity to warn people against covetousness. He spoke a parable to that end about the priorities of a wealthy man who sought to build more barns to store his grain, yet would die that very night. The Savior told another parable about an unfruitful fig tree that its owner wanted to cut down. The dresser of the vineyard asked the proprietor to let him cultivate the tree for another year to see if fruit would grow. This narrative alluded to the spiritual infertility of the Jewish nation. The Savior also cautioned others about assuming that they had an assured place in his kingdom. Upon seeing how some people wanted positions of prominence, Jesus Christ remarked, quote, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted," unquote. He followed that exposition with a narrative about invitees turning down requests to attend a dinner feast. The 15th chapter of Luke contained three parables relating to lost objects or lost persons. A woman who misplaced a coin diligently sought for it. A shepherd who lost a sheep left his flock and looked for the wayward sheep. The best known of these narratives, the story of the prodigal son, involve a wayward son leaving his father, changing his mind, coming back to his father, and how that father welcomed back his wayward son. Another parable told by the Savior involved the steward who went to settle his master's accounts before his master dismissed him. When the covetous Pharisees ridiculed Jesus Christ, he rejoined, quote, "That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God," unquote. The Lord compared the afterlife torments of a certain rich man with the comforts experienced in the afterlife by Lazarus, a beggar. When the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his five surviving brothers, the patriarch declined, saying, quote, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them," unquote. Jesus Christ's 10 lepers. After they departed, he noted that only one of them, a Samaritan, had returned to thank him. The Savior also restored the sight of a blind beggar. He dined with Zacchaeus, a rich publican who repented of his sins and received salvation. Jesus Christ continued to teach in parables. A story about an unjust judge and an importunate widow dealt with the necessity of persistence in prayer. Another account contrasted the presumptuous prayer of a Pharisee with that of a contrite publican, indicating that God would justify the publican and not the Pharisee. A third parable about the kingdom of God related to a nobleman leaving his domains to seek the title to a kingdom. He committed certain resources to three of his servants before he left. Two of them invested his funds and reaped profits. When he returned, the nobleman rewarded those two. A third servant, who hid his lord's money in the napkin, received a rebuke from the nobleman. Furthermore, the nobleman ordered the execution of all of those who opposed him. Jesus Christ concluded this parable, saying, quote, "Unto everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him." Unquote. When the Savior entered Jerusalem, his disciples praised him. He taught daily in the temple, casting out those who transacted business there. The chief priests and scribes dare not arrest him at that time, since, quote, "all of the people were very attentive to hear him." Unquote. Jesus Christ fielded a number of questions directed at him. He implicitly defended the right of the Roman government to collect tribute or taxes from the Jews. When the Sadducees asked him about marriage, he corrected their misapprehensions by pointing them back to God's statement in the book of Genesis about being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Savior spoke to his disciples about the end times, assuring them of his protection. He also used the blossoming of a fig tree as an analogy to the unfolding of latter-day events. Jesus Christ celebrated the Passover with his disciples the night that Judas Iscariot would betray him. On that occasion, he foretold Peter's denials of him. The Savior led his disciples to the Mount of Olives, where he prayed, quote, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Unquote. The Lord rebuked those who arrested him for their brutal tactics. The Jewish religious leaders put Jesus Christ on trial and physically abused him, finding him guilty of blasphemy. Then they led him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. In Pilate's presence, Jesus Christ's adversaries accused the Savior of, quote, "perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king," unquote. Pilate sent the Lord to Herod, who remanded him back to Pilate. Finally, the Roman governor sentenced Jesus Christ to death. On the road to Calvary, the Lord exhorted the women of Jerusalem to weep for their own approaching miseries, not for his. As Jesus Christ hung on a cross, a superscription over his head read, quote, "This is the King of the Jews," unquote. Even while dying, the Savior guaranteed a repentant malefactor of a home in paradise with him. Upon his death, the veil in the temple split. A centurion attending the crucifixion commended the Savior as a righteous man. Joseph of Arimathea entombed the Savior's body after the latter died. When certain women later visited the site, though, they found the tomb empty. They ran and told the news to the disciples. Though the latter group seemed skeptical, Peter went to the tomb. He noted the presence of the burial clothes, but wondered about what had taken place. After the resurrection, the risen Jesus Christ met two of his adherents as they traveled from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They didn't recognize him at first. The two men expressed their dismay that their Savior had died, and expressed their expectation that he would be the one to deliver Israel. Jesus Christ responded by showing them from the Old Testament those things concerning himself. He stayed with them when they stopped to eat, but vanished as he blessed the bread. They immediately returned to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples what had happened. At that juncture, Jesus Christ himself appeared on the scene. He invited his disciples to assure themselves that he was not just a spirit. Furthermore, he ate a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb in their presence. After that, he, quote, "opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture," unquote. The Savior brought his disciples to Bethany, where he blessed them. While doing this, he ascended to heaven. After worshiping him, his followers returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They continually ministered in the temple, praising and blessing God. Thank you for your attentiveness to today's lesson. We invite you to return for future radio Bible studies.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.